Successful Minds with Patricia Barnowski Schneider, the show that takes you around the world to share interviews with some of the most successful and relevant people on the planet. Hear their stories and get the most important business lessons they have learned on their road to success, and get exclusive advice on how to implement their success into your life and business. Successful Minds with Patricia Barnowski Schneider is brought to you by the Strategic Advisor Board and your host, Patricia Barnowski Schneider.
Hello and welcome back to Successful Minds. I'm your host, Patty Baranowski-Schneider. Today I'm joined by Dr. Benjamin Ritter, a leadership and career coach. So welcome, Dr. Ritter. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I have about a decade's worth of experience in organizational leadership and talent development. I got my start in this field because I was a pretty unhappy, disengaged, victim-oriented, successful, high-achieving professional who was surrounded with leadership that was authoritative and a little bit have a very like dictator style of leadership. And I was going into work trying not to work, really just hiding from having to do anything. And it wasn't a very good place to be. And lo and behold, I was selected for an emerging leaders program, a lot very similar to some of the corporate work I do today. And got paired up with an incredible mentor who showed me that the field of leadership development actually exists. And so that was a really big turning point in my career. And since then, I worked across the globe with large and small clients on developing their leaders and helping individuals really create the career path that they're choosing to be proactive instead of reactive in their career for themselves. And so hopefully making work better for people through and from an organizational and from a one-on-one level.
Well, that's awesome. And it is true. You know, a lot of the managements, even back through my, you know, ranks, some of them were just not very nice, and we needed a job, we went to work and whatnot. But, you know, you'd rather have employees that want to be there, that, you know, want to succeed. And, you know, it's a win-win. They're helping you, you're helping them, and they'll stay there forever. You know, where other people, they're disgruntled, and you hear the term people go postal because they're at the office more than they are at home. And it's like, you can't keep pushing people. So I don't blame you for hiding. I wanted to do that many years myself. Yeah. So tell us, with your extensive experience in leadership and career development, could you share an overview of how individuals can lead within their roles and even when they're not in a traditional leadership position?
Yeah, generally people mistake that they need to have a leadership role, have to have a certain level of authority to be considered a leader. A leader is just someone that people choose to follow. So it's a certain level of influence and persuasion. And so, I mean, there's so many different qualities and characteristics and aspects of a leader, but most importantly, the one thing that everyone really needs to remember is that to be a leader, you have to be someone worth following. And so how are you showing up each and every single day? Are you consistent? Are you authentic? Are you caring for others? Do you have a vision forwards? Are you credible? Are you doing work? Are you showing up? And all this, though, relates to this one thing, which is, are you engaged? And so very often when someone is not a leader, they sit in the shadows of a meeting. Or even more so, if you are a leader, you're still sitting in shadows of the meeting because maybe you doubt your own professional success or credibility or qualities or skills, or you're not sure of, you're afraid of making a misstep. So how are you engaging? How are you showing up in meetings, one-on-one and in groups and in your work, that highlights that you care, that you're there? And a really simple question is, if you like count your meetings from the week and how many times in that meeting would people have remembered that you were there? So did you say something that was influential, that was important? Did you ask a question that someone maybe thought was interesting or highlighted that you were listening and engaged? And if you can take a step forward in that way, you'll be more likely to be perceived as a leader. And that's one little thing that you can do.
Yeah, I mean, that's true, because a lot of people I know, it depends, especially if you have, you know, people above you that are going to bark at you for doing something wrong. A lot of times they just sit in the shadows because they're afraid that, you know, they're not going to be respected or they're not going to be appreciated. And that's, you know, that all has to change. So now you advocate for proactive career management. So can you give some practical steps on how professionals can shift from a reactive to a proactive approach in their careers?
So if you ask most people how to be proactive in their career, They might answer you and say, well, I go to LinkedIn job boards and I apply to jobs that I see. And that's not very proactive when you think about it. You're still at the beck and call of what positions are listed. Generally, you will take the job that you get an interview for, or you will take the job that someone calls you and shares with you because a friend referred you or a past boss. And that's if you're even open to work. Generally, sometimes people just sit in their current job and wait for a promotion to come, or get angry when one doesn't come, or do just enough to get by, or work really hard but make sure that no one really knows about it because you're not sharing. So generally, when you're reactive in your career, you're missing out on a variety of opportunities to dictate your career path. So the first thing that you really need to do is get clear on what you want to achieve. This is usually a big question mark for most people that I start working with. It's the first thing that we focus on. You can look it up as keywords for career clarity. I like to call it your career sweet spot. It's where you should be now. Now, that can change for tomorrow, it can change for the future, but where do you want to be now? And generally, it should be oriented in a direction that you care about, something that aligns with your values. So if you can get clear on where you want to go, that's the first step. So what are you trying to achieve with your job? Your job might not be your career overall because it's a step in the process, but you should be able to plot out a path forward to say, this is what I want to learn next. These are the people that I want to work with. This is the type of impact that I want to have on the world. And if you can make that decision and get clear on that, then you can start working on the other pieces, which is building confidence and creating an environment where you're more intentional, reaching out to people to network and build relationships in that field, et cetera, build a brand. So this it gets a little bit more, it's like a lot more steps in the process. But the first thing I tell everyone to do is you have to put in the time and effort to at least learn what's out there and learn what you're drawn to.
Yeah, no, I mean, it is true because some people, they just have a fixation. I need to make more money. I need to be closer to home or whatever the case may be. But what does that entail? It's a lot more, layers involved in that. And people, they need somebody to help them dissect it all. So that's good. Yeah. Now, leadership's often seen as pretty much guiding others, but you have a unique perspective that it's not about leading others, but leading oneself. So can you elaborate on the concept?
I mentioned you have to be someone people want to follow. You can't be someone that people want to follow if you haven't taken the time to figure out who you are and why you're following yourself. So again, what are you going back to that clarity piece? What are you working towards? Why are you working towards it? Why does it matter to you? I had a client do an initial worksheet and they wrote down around, I want to have an impact. I go, well, that's pretty broad. What do you mean you want to have an impact? Let's get specific. Because when you get specific, you can start actually plotting little actions so that that thing can become a reality. Most professionals also, especially high achieving professionals, get to where they are today because they're highly critical of themselves and they're highly critical of the work that they do. And so if you don't believe in yourself, you're very probably going to hold back on reaching out to someone that you could have an incredible career changing conversation with. Or you might hold back from stepping into the spotlight in your organization and sharing the fact that you've done this incredible work that you're working so hard to accomplish and to create. And also generally, they allow themselves to be a product of their environment instead of making their environment a product of their goals and values. And so to lead yourself, you have to take accountability for your current situation, and you have to feel empowered to change it. Once you do that, not only will you be just a better person around others because you'll be happier, be more fulfilled, be more energized. But you'll also be a role model for others. Because if you can learn how to craft your environment to serve your career, then you'll be able to learn how to do that for others. And a leader, truly, a leader doesn't try to force people to do what they want them to do. And they don't sit back and let people just do whatever they want. They learn what the strengths are and the interests of the people in front of them are. And they learn what the goals and the actual objectives of the organization are. And then they figure out how to create an environment around each individual employee so that they can lean into their strengths, develop the areas that they need to develop, and achieve the goals of the organization overall.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a win-win. It's helped me to help you. I mean, if your employees are doing, the best job that they possibly could, it's a good reflection on you. And That's where the good teams come from. So how does one become a leader of their own career? And what are the first steps in taking ownership of the process?
I'm gonna have to just keep talking about clarity. So if you want to be the owner of your own career, you have to accept that you are the reason for the opportunities that you get, and that you have the ability to say no to things, and you have the ability to create opportunities for yourself. One of the biggest issues that I see when people try to get a new job is they just use job boards, or they just reach out to their current network and they say, I'm looking for a job. And they expect then people to help them. You have to take responsibility for helping others help you. So that means, are you writing a paragraph about yourself, a specific paragraph about yourself and your interests for your next job, and sharing that with a resume that you got professionally updated by someone that knows what works for the job market? And sharing that with recruiters or friends, and then also going to make new connections with people that are having that have jobs that you're interested in, to build your network of people in the field so that you now have an environment around you of people that are successful in an area that you're trying to become more successful in. It's incredible how often people think, well, if I want a job, I just go to the job board and I apply to it and that's it, or ask my friends for a job. That is a strategy that is going to lead you to a lot of disappointment.
Right.
And if you really want to craft a career that is going to lead you towards what you care about, then you have to start asking yourself, how do I surround myself more with the things that I care about? And how do I give people the opportunity to get to know me? Not just from a resume, but actually get to know me as a human being and then want to work with me. Get to know me enough that they're going to want to work with me. So that involves really defining where you want to go, taking where you want to go and turning that into a really succinct and clear professional brand so that your LinkedIn, your resume, your cover letter, your about me, when you answer, tell me about yourself, and also your practicing mock interviews, and then taking that toolkit and then learning how to build relationships in a community in the ecosystem of the jobs that you're interested in. And then with those relationships, eventually that will build momentum. People will want to help you. Jobs will be interested in your brand, and eventually then that will lead to a position.
So you think, even networking events and things like that are useful just to go and kind of try to build your, I guess, your little tribe of people that you can kind of network with
Yeah, I
in your
mean,
space?
yes and no. So networking events might be a pretty high level of investment for a very low payoff. Really, what you want to do in your career, if you're looking for the next step, is to build relationships with people in the next step or in the next step afterwards. Just randomly meeting people is not going to be very effective.
No.
You're not looking to ask them for a job, but you're looking to go, who would be my boss and who would be my boss's boss? And now, how do I go reach out to them? Just like you would if you were a student in university and say, wow, I'm trying to build my network of people in XYZ field. You came up as a leader as I was searching. So this can be LinkedIn, it can be an email, it could be an introduction from somebody. Anyway, I'd really like to learn how you were able to get to where you are today. And then you just get to know them. If you know your story, if you know your direction you want to go, if you have been working on under like really being able to describe the projects and experience that you have, and you go into that conversation with curiosity to actually learn about how they got to where they are today, you will end up having the first touch to building a relationship. And that relationship, as you know, people care about you when you're memorable and they're in a position that could potentially guide you or introduce you to people that are interested, that are in your space, will lead to opportunities. It's not an overnight thing, but it is a month and a half thing. And generally, most people to get new jobs takes 2 to 6 months. If you're looking to completely transition a career, that can sometimes take 2 to 3 years, depending on where you want to go. But you have to start small and you do one small step and one small project and build one positive relationship. And a 2 to 3 year window, or 2 to 6 months in the whole span of your career, is a drop in the hat.
Put in the effort, I like it. So now you spoke about value congruence and job satisfaction in your work. So how do you help professionals align in their personal values with their career goals?
So there is a relationship between your personal values, your job values, and your levels of job satisfaction. You can't get away from it. It's there. And you will feel more frustrated and anxious and stressed the more misaligned your values are from how you're showing up each and every single day at work. So we need to figure out what you care about, what drains you, and what energizes you. And then there's this lovely field called job crafting. And job crafting highlights, based on research, that your job levels of job satisfaction come from certain factors of work, your actual work, your social relationships, and the meaning that you see or feel or perceive behind your work. You can take your values and things that drain you, things that energize you, and you can take that information, you can adjust your actual work. So the work that you do, the relationships that you invest time in, and the meaning that you perceive or achieve from your work itself. And each one of those has different strategies. Like, for example, for your actual work, what can you start, what can you stop, and what can you delegate? And you answer those questions with your values in mind.
Good advice. Yeah, things people need to think about. It's not to just jump in and go. So now your coaching philosophy includes the idea of living for yourself isn't selfish. So can you discuss how this mindset can positively impact one's career and leadership style?
If you are living for yourself, just feeding off that last question, you are operating in a way that aligns with your values. You're showing up knowing how you want to show up for yourself, which eventually is how you show up for others. It is kind of an example of that is when you're doing something, are you griping about it internally? Ah, I have to do this because of XYZ. Or are you saying, I enjoy doing this, or I'm okay doing this because it aligns with my values, my skills, my strengths, my interests? When you do anything that isn't for yourself, you will show up less than you're capable of. You'll be negative, you will be frustrated, you will potentially blame others, you will become disengaged. And this is why it's so important when you are a leader of others is to get their buy-in, your employees' buy-in on anything that you do, or at least help them understand the reason behind certain things. Because if not, disengagement isn't something that happens once, it builds. And so if you're showing up not for yourself in certain situations, you're adding to the disengagement bucket, the resentment bucket, the anger bucket, the frustration bucket. So eventually you're either going to burn out or leave where you're currently at.
No, I like that. Years ago, it was, employees just had to do what you were told, and that was it. And I see through the years that people were trying to get input from people, whether it be an anonymous box where you can put in your gripes, or just having weekly meetings or bi-weekly and asking people what your thoughts, what did anything make you happy, make you sad. And it is true, because sometimes you could be mad that they did something, but that didn't come from them. That came from someone above them. And let me explain why. And then maybe if you understood, you'd be like, okay, that makes sense. Or maybe they're saying, well, I would have did it this way, but now you take their opinion, you value that, and it makes them feel valued. And maybe what they said makes sense to you. I mean, it is good that it's you open up the lines of communication. It's good for everybody. Okay, in your career, you've worked with a diverse range of organizations and individuals. So can you share a success story where your coaching significantly impacted an individual or a team?
Yeah, so I worked with, I think, almost 500 people now from a one-on-one perspective, and
Nice.
say tens of thousands of people through workshops and events. And, just thinking about a client that recently graduated, they start a client program. They don't know exactly what they want to do for their career. They feel a little bit lost. Now they're kind of in the S, like senior director position. They want to move into a VP role. And not only do they feel a little bit lost, they don't really believe in their skills because they've been trying to get a new position. And in their last position, they had a pretty toxic boss. And so they have some career trauma related to kind of just overall what work means. And they don't really have a defined brand, and they don't really have strategies to go kind of tackle the job market. So they're pretty defeated when it comes to feeling like they can get a new job. And through working together, we define really what they care about, what they've enjoyed from their career path, the values that they see, and the impact that they want to create. We take that information and we turn that into their professional brand. So we added their resume, their LinkedIn, their cover letter. go through different projects that they've worked on and then have some mock interviews. And then we go out there and start applying to positions as well as building relationships. I mean, just thinking about this specific client, I went online, did some keyword searches for who their manager would be and who works at companies they're interested in, made some introductions, made some new connections as well as they did. Ended up talking to a variety of people, but one specific person at a company that they were interested in working for that led to an introduction. That introduction led to a few different interviews, and those interviews led to a new position. Now, there were other people that they met and other conversations that they had and other interviews that they had that did not work out. But eventually, we were able to target a specific company, specific areas that they were interested in, leverage their brand to get them a new role. And my goal is that this now, like the skills that we learned and how to become proactive in your career are long lasting. So I try to stay in touch with most of my clients just to make sure that they can still remember that they're accountable and they're empowered to really take steps forward in their career that matter to them.
Very nice, very well said too. And I like the mock interviews because the industry's changed so much, and how you interview one time, might not be what people are asking today. I mean, I remember doing some things where I actually had to Google some of these terms, and I don't even know what that means. Like, I've never been asked that before, so it's good to do mock interviews, and it helps you relax too to know, okay, these are the things that they might try to ask me. I want to make sure I have, I'm prepared for the answer, so that's good. Now, the concept of job satisfaction, it can be elusive. So what are some common misconceptions about finding satisfaction in someone's career, and how do you address them?
This comes up so often. People work, hire me because they're not happy at work. And one of the greatest misconceptions, and I almost want to just choose one because I think it's so important, is they think that their job is supposed to make them happy. They think their organization is supposed to make them happy. And they forget or haven't ever been told that happiness is something that they can choose. And so they're going into work, and usually what happens when someone is unhappy about their job, they are telling themselves a story about their boss, terrible boss, negative boss, angry boss, micromanaging boss, or their coworkers or their company that is not allowing them to find happiness in their work. And we hold ourselves back. And so the number one misconception is that we are happy or unhappy because of the job that we have. Instead of we forget that we can choose to make the most of where we're at. Now, yes, there are some really toxic environments that are abusive and are hostile and are not safe to be in. And I'm not talking about those. I'm talking about the fact that you're going to work and you know who you are. You're sitting there saying, why can't I be happy? That's what you're saying, because you have a good job, you're making good money, you have positive coworkers, you have a supportive boss. But there's a story in there that's holding you back from it.
Answers. I know a lot of people like that. They're just miserable every single day. And it gets crazy because they're miserable going into work, which again, you're spending more hours per day at your job than you are at home. And it's sad because it's like you can't find anything at all to be happy about. And if you are that miserable, maybe that's not the career for you. Maybe that's not the type of environment you should be in, So now, with your background in health policy and entrepreneurial management, how do you integrate wellness and business acumen into your coaching practice?
Well, it's kind of just there by default. You're helping someone grow as a leader and improving their career. And our careers, as you just mentioned, is the majority of most people's day. And so by improving that specific area, reframing their mentality towards work and rewriting some of those stories that I just mentioned as well, you're hopefully building a better place for that person to spend their time. And so that then feeds into their personal life. So they start thinking of themselves in a more positive way. They start seeing the things around them in a more positive way. And your mentality can dictate your how you perceive your environment. And so generally our work and career filters down also into health and wellness in their personal life.
I know it's a shame so many people can't find anything to be happy about. It's like, say even rainy day. It's gonna bring the flowers and maybe you get a rainbow. I mean, there's so much you can find happiness in, but people just, no interest, I guess.
Yeah.
But now, lastly, for the listeners who are early in their careers or considering a significant change, what advice would you give them to cultivate leadership skills and create a career that they love?
Instead of seeing it as a significant change, see it as a step forward and call a ball a bunch of small actions. Generally, what tends to hold us back is we see the mountaintop and then we see where we are. And then between us and that mountaintop is a pretty big gap. We don't know how to get there. We don't have a map. We don't have tools. We don't think that we're capable. And so we get scared. We have to fill in the gap. We have to make it a path. And so we have to start breaking down that journey step by step. And when you can do that and not hold yourself accountable for reaching the mountaintop, instead just hold yourself accountable for taking a step forward, you're more likely to do it, more likely to feel confident in it, and more likely to be able to make that change.
Nice. Well, anything else you want to touch on that we didn't talk about or that you're working on anything?
I think you hit on it. I'm in the process of completing a book this year, so if anyone
Nice.
sees this, please pay attention. Go to liveforyourselfconsulting.com or add me on LinkedIn and tell me that you heard me here, and I'm happy to share that information with you.
Nice. And you work with people around the world, right? They don't have to be in your location.
100%. I have a call with someone from Paris later today, not too later
Nice.
because it's night.
Nice.
I have some clients in Australia. I think I was on a show there once, and so
Nice.
got connected and have clients across the United States as well.
Awesome. So how can people get a hold of you?
Yeah, please first off add me on LinkedIn at Dr. Benjamin Ritter. If you're trying to grow in your career and don't have a LinkedIn, this is a reason to go create a LinkedIn profile. And you can also find out more about us at liveforyourselfconsulting.com. All our information around consulting services, coaching services, and our podcast and such are there.
Nice. Well, thank you again for being on the show. Again, that was Dr. Benjamin Ritter. So thanks for listening to Successful Minds with Patty B. Never miss an episode by subscribing here and click the bell notification to be notified of new episodes. So thank you again.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to Successful Minds with your host, Patricia Barnowski-Schneider. Please leave your feedback and visit strategicadvisorboard.com to get the latest and greatest business advisement on the planet. Follow us on social media for updates, and we'll see you on the next episode.